Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Women Talk, the weekly podcast about the taboo topics that we all desperately try to avoid, but deep down really want to discuss. Yes, I'm talking about politics, race, sex, and religion, and anything else that we deem needs to be covered and discussed. Join us every Monday, 8 p.m., right here at blogtalkradio.com/Black Women Talk with Rhonda and Renee.
Yeah, enough of that. Just play the theme song.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rhonda and Renee with Black Women Talk. Welcome back. I hope you had a great holiday, 4th of July. And since 4th of July, a lot has happened. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it's incredible what's going on.
Well, that's a lot.
It continues to go on.
That's. So we figured it would be remiss of us if we did not discuss what has occurred over the past week. And so tonight's topic is, do Black Lives Matter? And we do have, you can hit us up in a number of ways. You can tweet us at Black Women Talk. You can hit us up on Facebook, Black Women Talk Podcast. Or so you can search for that and like our page and comment there. Or you can call in at 646-668-2712. That's 646-668-2712. So I'm not even
before we get started that's okay.
Yeah.
Before we get started, I would like to say to the Alton Sterling family and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, our thoughts and prayers are with you. To Philando Castile, his family in Southern Heights, Minnesota, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For the police officers in Dallas, Texas, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And Renee and I could go on and on for all the families that are suffering during this time, those that have suffered before these particular incidents in the last week and a half. We could go down many, go through the list of names, and we all know them. We can name them. But I think that it is befitting that Renee and I talk about Black Lives Matter and what's happening in these recent events. And hopefully we can come up with some positive ways or to influence you or encourage you to stay hopeful in ways that you also take into consideration of how you can potentially provide or be an impact in the movement. But for me, there's a couple of things that I'd like to start out talking about in our conversation is when they talk about Black Lives Matter, a lot of people that are non-black don't necessarily understand what it means by Black Lives Matter. And they always have the rebuttal of Blue Lives Matter or All Lives Matter. When I hear someone make the statement, All Lives Matter, it just drives me nuts. We all know that that's not what it's intended in terms of excluding other races. But what's happening to us is happening on a disproportionate level. And just like there is breast cancer awareness, that doesn't mean that all other cancers don't matter. you were just choosing to support mm-hmm. breast cancer. So we hope that people understand that we are not trying to separate ourselves amongst everybody and try to say that we're, you know, better. But I think our situation in terms of when it comes to justice being served, minorities are not been given justice in terms of where people are being shot, where people are being killed, people are being hung by a judicial system. So it can't be just or justice if the people are not just. So I hope that people, I hope that we as black people or we as color people, when I say color, I mean all the spectrums of a color race, that we can be peaceable and be able to express and explain to everyone what the difference between Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter. It doesn't mean that we don't believe that all lives do not matter. We just feel like this is our place and time to express what's really happening to minorities in the judicial system. Renee?
Yeah, I have so many thoughts on all of it. So I'll try to go through it. It probably will be a stream of consciousness. So bear with me through this. I have a few feelings. One is, like you, I don't understand the retort of, you know, blue lives matter, all lives matter, every time someone says black lives matter. To me, it's like, and I've been given this analogy, I've used it, it's like if, you know, your house is on fire, you're on a street, your house is the one house on fire, I call 911, fire department shows up, and they start spraying my house. And I said, well, don't all houses matter? And you're like, yeah, but right now mine is the house that's burning. I'm like, yeah, but all houses matter, right? and to me, that's what that feels like. It's one of these things where there's something major going on with one group, and it doesn't mean that your group doesn't matter. It means that right now this is where the crisis is, so we take care of the crisis right now. And you're not being left out. You're not. But right now it's not about you. It's just not about you right now. So there's that. There's that one feeling. My other issue I have with all lives matter is that truthfully, all lives don't matter equally. And we're seeing that play out right now. And I'm going to say this, and this may sound harsh, but right now I'm feeling like all lives really don't matter equally, because although Alton Sterling and Philando Castile lost their lives last week, everything has been usurped for the five police officers. That's all that has been talked about since it happened. And we've forgotten about these two men who also lost their lives. And if the guy, Micah Johnson, I believe was the shooter, if he had lived, I don't believe that people would have to look at video and research it more like they're saying for Alton Sterling's case and in Philando Castile's case. I don't believe that they would have to look at video and make sure it's not doctored or altered, or let's make sure that his, you know, what his mental background was. They wouldn't do that. They would, and he would go to jail. There wouldn't be, he wouldn't not be indicted, which is what has happened with most of the cases that have happened where a police officer has shot and killed a black person. Hardly anyone, and I can't even think of anyone, has actually been indicted or convicted of a killing of an unarmed black person. So I have an issue with all lives matter, because they don't all matter equally. They just aren't. And it's playing out every day, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it every single day. So even all lives matter, that whole statement just kind of rubs me the wrong way, because I'm like, well, that would be great if that were actually true. When someone who's not of color goes missing, we hear about it all the time. I still remember JonBenet Ramsey and Natalie Holloway, who went missing in Aruba. These were people that nobody knew before they went missing and or were found dead. Those lives matter. There's a little girl who's been missing here for a year, and I'm going to admit that I think I'm going to get her name right, because that's how little we talked about it. But her name was Relisha Rudd. She was 8. And she went missing, and nobody's talking about it. All lives are not mattering equally. So I have a problem with that statement, too. I have another issue with Black Lives Matter, and that is that I feel like the statement is actually all black men's lives matter, because there have been women who have been killed by the police that have not gotten the same amount of outrage and attention as black men's lives have. That's not to say that they're not, that we shouldn't be marching, but I noticed that who's on the front line are other black women who are marching for this, but we're not getting that same attention when a black woman has that same issue. Sandra Bland was the biggest I've seen, and then that kind of died out. But there have been 15 women last year that were killed by police, and we didn't hear about it. It just kind of happened, and then that was it. So I'd like us to really fight for all black lives, not just black men's lives, too, because we're both apparently getting shot and killed by cops through whatever means there is. I'd like to see that same amount of outrage, protesting, whatever it is. And then finally, my last thought about this is, and I looked this up because, and Rhonda and I really hadn't talked about this beforehand like we normally do, but I think I had texted her something and said, I don't think I know exactly what Black Lives Matter want to do and accomplish. And that, for me, is a bit of an issue. Now, for those of you listening who are like, well, we want them to stop killing people, of course. Yes, I get that. But it's so much deeper than that. And so how do you get to this? That's not a simple thing you're asking for. It sounds like it should be. But because this is a systemic racism problem, it's not going to be just, hey, when you go out today, don't shoot anybody that's of color. That's not how that's going to work. So I'm looking for what I'm wondering is there legislation that Black Lives Matters wants changed? Is there a bill they want to introduce? I'm not exactly sure what their focus is. And when I went through their site and looked at it, it's beautiful language. It's very mission focused. I have no clue what the end result actually is supposed to look like, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you mean. The scope is very broad, and I guess with this issue, and I think I'm going to say this, because racism, there's different types of racism, and because it is broad for us, I kind of understand how they have such a broad, because they want to be all-inclusive. If there is any type of political, socioeconomic, or judicial issue that is impacting or has an impact on black lives, then maybe that's why the scope is very open and general. So as to include all those situations in which affect black lives. But I know that this particular movement initiated or kind of gained momentum with police brutality. The thing that bothers me the most, and I'm not criticizing, I'm, to be honest, I'm really not an activist as my heart would want me to be, but I'm confused as to what to do. We've seen boycotting, we've seen a lot of signs. I mean, I've done quite a bit of stuff that's on Facebook, on posting, but I'm really not sure of what to do that will be effective, other than, and I know that this is funny to me, but I think this is what has to be done. I've seen petitions, but I always laugh when someone says, I need to write a letter. And I think that definitely is important in terms of getting in contact with Congress or your mayor or whoever's electing officials in terms of handling the police, we need to start writing letters. We need to do more on a where are the politicians now? I haven't heard anything from Trump, which I don't really expect. I haven't heard anything from Hillary. I haven't heard anything that this is concerning us or Bernie Sanders or anybody saying anything about what they can do or what will do to make a change. So that tells me that no matter whether Republican or Democrat, no one is listening. They don't care.
I think because people know that it's so, to me, looking at this, this isn't just a cop citizen issue. It is, but it's not just that. It's so much deeper than that. And you're talking about the very fiber and fabric of how America was built on racism. And so it's really hard to unweave all of that and make this okay and try to fix it. It's almost like people say, trying to put a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. It's so much bigger than that. And, yeah, okay, you could fire cops. You can put them on admin leave or whatever it is. But that doesn't fix the heart of the person who just doesn't like someone of a different race.
Yeah,
it doesn't fix that.
The guy
who said, don't be part of the problem. Join the police. How does that fix the problem? So what you're telling me now is when I get stopped by a cop, instead of me, and when you decide to pull out a gun and shoot me because I can't get to my driver's license fast enough, what I should do if I live through this is join the police force. Those are not things that fix what is inherently a systemic problem of racism in America, not just in the police force. It's just in America. Well, I'm just amazed. Social media is an amazing tool. But when I look at, when I go through what people are saying about, Rudy Giuliani, what he said about, black parents need to teach their black kids to respect the police. And then you look on Fox News and you see what the people are saying. It is heartbreaking to realize that so many people just think all we're doing is sitting around waiting for handouts and waiting for, somebody to take care of us. Like, none of us have jobs. None of us do anything productive in society. All we're just waiting for the white man to do something for us. And it's heartbreaking. I'm like, but this is America. This is the America that Donald Trump wants to go back to, that he wants to make great again. You can't fix that even if you manage to do whatever it is and pass a law with the police or make them all wear body cams. You can't fix the minds of people who feel like that already. That's heartbreaking to me. I read some of the most hated stuff this weekend.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine, just kind of troubleshooting in terms of, I said, this police mentality has to stop. And how do you stop that? I know that this, like you said, this is a Band-Aid on a bigger issue, but it is, the topic that's rising to the surface at this particular moment. So she was like, there needs to be police training. I said, they're all trained. And how often do you hear about a black cop killing a white kid? So their training is almost pretty much the same. There have been situations where you've seen, there was a video where a Caucasian guy was holding a machete. The cops did not shoot him. They were telling him, please stop. They let him actually get away. But I know in the case of, if that had been myself or a black man or Hispanic, or anyone else where they feel quote unquote threatened, he would have been dead immediately.
Yep.
I said, so it's not training. There's some things that that is happening here that has nothing to do necessarily with training. We are talking about exactly what Renee is talking about. It is the heart of people that really don't care about our lives. And that is where we get the come up with the, what the term has been coined, been penned, you know, Black Lives Matter. But if the question is really, do we? And to whom? Because I don't see anyone other than ourselves. But I will take that back. Let me take that back. I've seen pictures. I've seen some other. I've seen us being supported by other races. But I know, looking at my own Facebook page, I have only seen maybe two, or I would say definitely one, and I would say two max, people that are my classmates, and our class was breaking up into 50% black, 50% white or other. Only two that could understand what's happening. And I was shocked. They won't even say anything. The only thing they will say is Blue Lives Matter. And that was a slap in the face to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
If you can support Blue Lives Matter and you're willing to stand up for Blue Lives, you should be standing up for justice. And if anyone does wrong to any other one, that's what you should be standing up for. So I expect you to see or having a stance for Black Lives Matter.
Well, I think in order to do that, and you have to have had an encounter with police that is not so great to see that they're not the heroes. And I say that because I went to a workshop this back in October called Race Forward, and it was about 50-50 white and black other. And what was interesting is that there was a Hispanic lady who was talking about her experience with, and she called them cops, and she said, you know, I had this, you know, experience with these cops, and she kept talking to them, she was talking about what happened. And a white lady across the aisle said, you know, I'm a little offended, you know, that you call them cops. And so we were all kind of like,
okay. Huh?
Yeah, right. We were all like, huh? And the leader, the two facilitators, one was black, the other was Indian. And so they were like, okay. And she said, well, when I was growing up, we called them police officers because they're there to help and protect. And I always tell my child, you know, tell my children if they're ever in trouble to look for a police officer because he will definitely help you get to blah, 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 blah. And she had this beautiful flowery story of how police officers are, you know, your friends and you're helpful. And so the Hispanic lady said, that's your experience. But I can tell you that in the minority community, it's not like that. Nobody goes and looks for a cop if they're in trouble. That's just not something you do because you don't look at them as someone who helps you. These are the people who harass you. These are the people who arrest your family members. These are the people who don't know you from someone else. And so they, you know, they pick you up based on a description that, you know, you're Hispanic at 5'10" and you might be, you know, Native American and 6'2". She said, we don't, that's not the same experience. And she, it was interesting because I noticed that even as the lady was explaining that, the other woman wasn't getting it. She just kept saying, I'm just offended by the word cop. And so the facilitator said, well, cop is really just a shortened version of a British term, constable on patrol. He said, so it's not a derogatory name of any sort. It's just another way to say police. And so we, you know, because we were all kind of like, I'm confused about this whole conversation. And she said, well, I don't know. I just feel like it's just a derogatory term. Maybe it's me. And the other facilitator said, yeah, it's just you. Because I can assure you that in minority communities, nobody feels that way. Like, people are not, people are not having this warm, fuzzy feeling if you've ever been in contact as a minority with most police officers. It's not a pleasant experience.
Yeah, I was thinking, what is Philando Castile's girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds, what is her 4-year-old daughter going to think about police, considering what she saw?
Right. And she didn't call them. I mean,
what is that?
I was what impact does that have? And she wasn't calling them pigs or any. I was like, she's calling them cops. Don't most people call police cops? Like that, but that was really her source of issue, was that she felt like cop was a derogatory term. I'm like, okay. You are never going to get it. That's really the point that's making you itch. You really aren't going to get the rest of this. So,
well, to me, that was telling me is that black lives, other lives don't matter. Her life matter, and that's what you should be focused on.
It was a very confusing and interesting conversation. Everyone was kind of like, what's her problem? That was really a problem, the use of the word cop, because she felt like they were, this was just a bad term. And so another white lady did speak up and say, I think you have to look at, this was last year, so this was before all the other shootings that happened. She said, I think you might have to look at some of the shootings that have happened that involved, unarmed black people, and realize that they may not have that same fondness for police officers that you've had. But I could tell it wasn't clicking. I could just see that in her face. Like, but how could you not? They're police officers. They're here to help. That was really her stance. And so if that's your worldview, I get it. But you also have to realize that everyone doesn't live in your world. And so there may just be a possibility that someone else is experiencing something completely different from you. And they have a valid view, too. So I have ideas of what could change, but my God, it's so huge that we pretty much have to kill everybody and start from scratch.
Okay.
we have to wait for everybody to die and then just start over. Because to me it's so deep. It's so interwoven into the culture of America that it's not going to change on the surface. It's just,
yeah. I think it's just right not. Now, because this is something that's happened for years, 30, 40, 50, 50s,
mm-hmm.
that we have to do something. It's getting out of hand. It's one thing to have a racist view. It's another thing to have a racist view and act on that in a malicious way and start killing people. That's totally different. I don't think we'll be able to deal with the race issue right now, but in terms of its wholeness and more than just our race. I mean, you got sex, you got other things that have racist connotations associated with them. But we definitely, the judicial system has to change, and these rogue cops need to be reprimanded. The good cops need to stand up and talk about and say it, despite somebody has to stand up from within to clean it out. And I think that's going to have to be one of the biggest starts, because I feel like it could be a fraternity of different types of KKK. Now, granted, they've been, I have a whole thing about every time we talk about Black Lives Matter and there's a new Panther Party out, and the whole rebuttal comes, well, that's like the KKK. Y'all just as racist as the KKK. This is not the same. We do not take our views and kill and hang and hurt people. That's not to say that they've gotten us to a point where we're upset about it, and there are many that are taking matters into their own hands, but not on the level as the KKK. And not on the level that what has been infiltrated into the police force, or where we have what I call rogue cops that are going beyond their legal rights and doing the judge jury. And I think that if you are afraid to be a cop, you do not need to be a cop. I mean, every time there's a young man that's being killed, or a person that's being killed by the cops, it's always out of saying, well, I was defending myself, or it was out of fear, or, it feels like the person has this whole bad history rep well, you are the cop, and you are supposed to behave better than your victim. Or the,
right.
or the person
you're supposed
you're
to be able to de-escalate a situation.
You're supposed to be able to de-escalate. You're supposed to be able to handle this. You're not going and collecting, quote-unquote, innocent people, are you? You know that you're trying to capture a bad person. So you should already have in your mind that something is going to go down, and you need to know how to de-escalate. And I get so upset every time there's some excuse as to why a black man should have been killed, and that ticks me off worse than anything.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, even the law says you're innocent until proven guilty, but we're not even given an opportunity to be apprehended, to go before the judicial system to even determine that. So they need to act like that individual is innocent. Now, granted, I understand that they are going into dangerous territory, and that may happen. But we're talking about unarmed people that are being killed for no reason at all other than they are chicken shit. And I'm just going to say it. That is what it is. They're afraid. But you can't, yes, you're going to have fear, but that doesn't mean you always act on fear. Now, if we were to act on fear, it'd be a worse situation than what it is.
It would be the wild, wild west. If all people of color exercise their Second Amendment rights as the NRA keeps fighting for, and we all just started shooting folks because we were scared, because trust me, it is far scarier to be black in an all-white area than it is to be white in an all-black area. Most of the time, we're not paying attention to that. We're wondering if you're lost. You sure you are you? Cause we will. You come over here to where I live. People are like, are you lost? Are you looking for something? People are not trying to rob you because you know why? Because we know we'll go to jail for it. I know that there's certain parts of the city I can go into and I can go missing and people will act like they never knew I was there. And you know what? It won't be on CNN and y'all won't be shouting Black Lives Matter and nobody will be looking for me. So, yeah, I'm far more afraid to be in some areas than some people ought to be over here with us. And if I just started carrying a gun, just shooting people because I was scared, be a lot of folks. Be a lot of dead folks.
Well,
we were shot because we were scared all the time.
And where is NRA and the Second Amendment right?
Not saying.
These
never, not saying anything.
License to carry. Haven't said a word.
And this was the whole thing, right? Everybody, well, you should get a gun. Okay, well, he had a gun.
Yeah, he had the right to
bear. Yeah, he actually lost his life because he had a gun. So how does that work exactly?
Well, I'll tell you something. Texas is a carrying state.
Yes, it is.
They de-escalate that quickly. And you know what bothers me the most is that when we get upset and then on, now they want to call for peace and quiet.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
calm down. Everybody calm down. But like, that's the only way we feel like people are hearing us.
Yeah.
That's the only way. But it upsets me that now I got to get to this level for you to actually start paying attention to me. And then you're going to flip the script on me.
Mm-hmm.
We're the one being violent. We're being disruptive. We can't even have a peaceful march or rally.
Nope. They arrested some people today on their own private property, on their own home in Baton Rouge for having a peaceful protest. You saw that. And the police were the only ones who had guns. Nobody there had a gun. And they started arresting people. I think I'm going to say this because it's driving me nuts. So very much. And I'm going to say what the solution is, because I've been really quiet on this ever since the Trayvon Martin case. I remember when George Zimmerman was acquitted. I was in this Facebook group. You may have seen this too, Rhonda. I don't know. Those of you listening, if you did it, okay. I remember one of the guys in the group called for a boycott of orange juice. And I stopped in my tracks. I was like, what? He's like, I'm not drinking orange juice anymore. Because like, because, I mean, and the anger that comes from people when they think they've got this idea that's as brilliant as fire is just like, okay, well, can you tell me why you're not drinking orange juice? Because orange juice comes from Florida, and if we stop drinking orange juice, then they'll know that they need to repeal Stand Your Ground. I'm not even clear how that leap was made. I was just looking at the screen like, what? So I said, explain that again. So he said it again. It didn't make any more sense the second time. I said, well, okay, one, you don't live in Florida. Do y'all know how the government or law works at all? Like at all? Okay. So you don't live in Florida, so you're not drinking orange juice. Doesn't really matter a whole lot. Because you don't affect any voting in Florida because you live here. Two, George Zimmerman didn't use Stand Your Ground as a defense. So I'm not clear about that. I'm not sure how orange juice and Stand Your Ground connect at all and why they're supposed to make that leap that you just made intuitively to that. And why orange juice? So people just started boycott, supposedly. They're going to boycott orange juice. One, you know, I've heard people say they, you know, they weren't going to go to Disneyland that year. How many times do you go to Disneyland in your life? Does it matter? Disney World? No, probably not so much. So there were things that were being done and said, and now the whole thing is like, we're going to boycott Target. We're not going to shop on Black Friday. And I'm like, what does this have to do with the police? And everyone keeps saying, you got to hit them in the pocketbook. Okay, so why don't you sue the police department in a civil suit? They did it to OJ. They went through a criminal trial, and then they did a civil suit. They won $33.8 million. No, they never got it, but why don't you do that? And it makes them liable for the crime of killing the person, and you can possibly get paid from it. That hurts somebody. Because right now what it looks like is the police go on paid administrative leave. So they, I don't know exactly what that means. It sounds like I go home, I don't work, and I get paid. That's what it sounds like to me. Maybe there's some more punishment in there. I don't know. But that's not a huge punishment for killing someone. So why not sue the person that actually did it and hit them in the pocketbook as opposed to Target or Best Buy or whatever big box store that people are boycotting? And I'm not clear how those boycotts relate to stopping the police from killing unarmed people.
Well, I won't say that I necessarily agree with them or how we're going about it, but I understand in terms of financially, they take our money and they mistreat us, and money is what rules the United States. And even though you're saying why not sue them, we already know that the judicial system doesn't work for the black man. I mean, that's the whole point of us having this argument about they have even gone to trial and nobody has been convicted for killing these unarmed
individuals. Yes, they've done a criminal trial, and that's why they should do a civil suit, which is completely different. And they could do a civil suit. It's on the preponderance of the evidence. You don't have to go through indictments. You're suing for, you are going to be suing a for legal liability, for liability of the death. With all the video that everybody has, it's amazing that they're not going to court criminally. But you could take a civil case. They could do a civil case. They could actually do a criminal case without the indictment if you could get the district attorney to push for it. They don't need the indictment to do it. They could get the district attorney to do it. That's legal. But I think we don't know enough of the law to know that that's how it would work to fix things. You start suing police departments and they don't have the money to pay, they have to start laying people off, or something happens and they're like, look, we got to get this together. Maybe we do need to retrain some folks. And you just can't go out here and, like, this is the wild, wild west. Maybe then people start listening. But I don't understand how hitting people at Target is going to fix the police department from shooting us. That's not related.
Well, I understand that the civil case, even you yourself said, that doesn't mean that they have to pay it. So I
say it does. Well, OJ did. I say that OJ didn't pay it because he's OJ.
But they got some money.
But that's what happened.
What I have seen being proposed now is that there's a petition going out for to go against Congress to stop spending millions of dollars every year giving grants to the same police departments that are killing or over-incarcerating black people. There's a petition going around for that. I do have a problem with it because they're saying, and the Obama administration, but I think that's one way that we may be able to do something. Because it has been given money, which is, again, of course, the tax dollars that we're paying. We have to talk about it from that perspective, from about not having the grants being given to those same police departments. And maybe
so,
that will
okay, so let, me ask, so let me ask this because I don't know. How effective are petitions in getting things done? And I ask that because I remember doing that petition for the last one. I think I did, or I remember doing, was for the judge in the Stanford, the rape case of I can't remember his name. Anyway, the guy who raped the woman, and his father came back and said it was just 20 minutes of sex, what's the big deal kind of thing, and he only got 6 months, he's only serving three. And I remember there was a petition going around to get him off the bench. How effective are petitions in getting something done? Like, I don't know, I never hear later, like, is he off the bench? Can he still try cases? Like, I don't know what happened. I just know I signed something. Do you have any idea?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
But in short of harassing some officials, I would. I kind of hate to say this, but it's a thought that just runs through my head. Right, wrong, or indifferent, judge me, accuse me, whatever. But I think we need to know who our elected officials are, and actually be in front of them. Find out where they live. Find out what they do. Find out what they have done. And just like when they throw us up on the TV screen about what they do, we have social media that we can pressure them out in terms of resigning or removing themselves by exposing them. Just like there was a police officer in Florida who they found out he was actually a member of the KKK. But that's us doing the research and exposing this and showing how corrupt it is. We need to utilize the social media and our intelligence to win this war, to get the people out that are affecting our lives in a negative way. So you need to know who they are.
Did he leave?
Oh, yeah.
He resigned.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That's good, because I often wonder about things like that. Like, does it actually work? Because I know, unfortunately, so many politicians are in bed with some corporation for their money. And so I'm often wondering, like, when we do all this, is this sort of like, ha, 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 people are sending this, but I've got the NRA in my pocket and they're giving me $30 billion to run again, so whatever. You're like
and
I often
that is,
wonder,
you know what, that
is that,
is,
what's
that
really
is actually
happening?
What is happening. That is what's happening. That is what's happening. That is what's happening.
And so then I wonder how do you get these people out? Outside of that, like an obvious racist or wiener showing his wiener on Twitter, outside of like a sex scandal and racism, it's like, how do you get people out of here? I mean,
yeah.
Right now I need 469 seats up for Congress. And for this election, that's a lot. That's a lot of delegates. But yeah, if you don't know what they're actually doing, or what they have done in the past, and who they're in bed with, you know, we go into these voting booths, like, oh, I kind of like his name. That looks good. Like, you don't really know who they are or what they've done. You don't know their record. You don't even know if they show up to work when they're supposed to. You don't even know what their voting record is. I mean, I remember looking at some Congress people before and going, this dude is never voting. Like, where is he? This is his job, and he's never voting. What is going on? So, you know, if you're not looking at things like that, at congressional records, and when they show up, and, you know, what they vote for, what they vote against, you know, if you don't know those things, which I hate to say it, most of America probably doesn't know, most of Black America probably knows even less, we're at their mercy. So you just get these people in, and they just run amok in this, as my girlfriend says, because they can. Oh, yeah.
Well, and
I can just do whatever.
I think that would be a tactic. I mean, I hate to say it, but they use it against us very well, even when we are innocent, especially in these past two encounters. We've seen the video, but they will go and dig up some past history about this person to exploit him, to make the cops seem justified in killing him. So we need to utilize the same tactic. Anytime they do it, we need to find out the dirt on these police officers and show it. I know they can't be squeaky clean. There's been other cases. There may be cases where they are abusing their wives. We need to expose their crap just like they do us.
Yeah, because that's disheartening.
That's the only thing I
seen the other day.
I was just going to say, that's the only thing I could think of is to play the same game they play with us. And if my Christian family would listen to me now, that would be very horrible. And that's why I hate to admit to that. But I don't think this is, if we want to say that the United States is all about Christianity and love, we would not even be having this discussion. So
no,
I'm just saying,
you sure wouldn't.
You know, yes. I am at a point where I want to be able to, just like they go for the jugular at us, I'm ready to go with it. I will not kill anybody. I'm not encouraging anybody to kill anyone. But I think we need to be smart about the approach and utilize what they're utilizing against us, which is the media. The media is manipulating our brain to see certain things. So if they are using it to get to our head, we need to use it to get to their head.
Yeah, the media plays a big part in this, and that's disheartening too. I always see stuff online where people are like, you know, this liberal media does this and the liberal media that, and I'm like, well, okay, let's say it is a liberal media, but whatever station you watch is a liberal media, it doesn't feel like it's very freeing for us or very liberal towards us. It's very liberal in looking at our past. I've seen a lot of that. I mean, I'll take, and this isn't about the killings for a moment, but to show how the media works. When the little boy fell into the gorilla cage couple months ago, and he was there with his mother. His father was not there. They dug up and found out that his father, who was not there, had a record. What does that have to do with the boy falling into the cage? I don't know. It was amazing to me that the media dug up that bit of information about something so incredibly irrelevant. And people were outraged that they had to shoot the gorilla to save the boy's life. Outrage. Thought about bringing the mother up on criminal charges over this. 2 weeks later, if it was even that long, a little boy swimming at night in a place that says no swimming allowed gets eaten by an alligator. No one dug into their backgrounds to see if they were criminals. No one looked into all of that. No one saw anything of that. And when I saw that, and I waited for about 3 days, I said, I'm going to wait because this family has to be white. because no one's digging in his history. I don't hear anything about there was drug mm-hmm. use or he had a record or nothing. And sure enough, I said, this is interesting. So as much as people want to say this is liberal media, I'm like, it's still biased. It still has a stance towards that.
Wasn't this at Disneyland or something like that?
This was in Disney World down in Florida. And what
Disney
I suspect.
And this is not the only time, believe it or not.
No.
And they said this is not the only, but they did not exploit those facts.
Nope. They didn't exploit those facts. They didn't go into that family's life. They didn't dig in and find out if they had used weed or killed somebody or what their background record was or anything like that. They didn't even
but
find
to me,
them
I would
at
say
fault for swimming in a place where they weren't supposed to be swimming. Huh?
To me, Disney World being negligent. You knew this was a possibility. You just throw up a sign?
They put up a sign. Was the zoo being negligent when the little boys went in there? I mean, you know, and the only reason
like the we ours was the black lady was
right. I didn't see where they were negligent. I didn't see where they thought the parents were negligent or anything like that. And they were both horrible situations, but the way they were
mm-hmm.
treated was completely different in the quote unquote liberal media. And I suspect, I don't know this. So I'm not saying this for a fact, but I'm saying this because a couple months ago, Jeff and I went down to South Carolina. All over the place where we stayed at this resort, there were signs that said, do not feed the alligators. A fed alligator is a dead alligator. We went on a tour, and I was like, are there really alligators in this water? They were telling people not to swim in it. It was everywhere, all along the place it would say that. And they said, what the tour guide said, she said, yeah, there are alligators in here. And she said, the reason we have these signs is because when people feed alligators, you can't untrain them to not come around people anymore. So they start coming around people looking for food. And once they do that, we have to shoot them. We have to kill that alligator because they'll always be coming around people, and we can't have that at the resort. My suspicion is, I'm going to say this, because I see it all the time. I know this isn't all white people, but a lot of white people love to feed animals for some reason. Animals that are okay without you feeding them. They live a long time. You know, they live 360-some-odd days before you get down there on your vacation eating. So, but I noticed because even when I was on vacation, people were feeding everything in there, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get out of here. Because you're standing right by the sign and say, don't feed them. Why are you feeding it? So my suspicion is somebody fed some alligators because they thought it was cute, because they thought it was funny, because they whatever. And then here comes an alligator up on dry land. It shouldn't be there looking for food. I could be wrong, but I see it so often because everywhere I go, I'm like, why are they feeding? I just noticed that they're just feeding any dogs, cats, birds. I'm like, why are they feeding all these things? They're fine without you feeding them. You're probably throwing off their diet of some sort. They're wild animals. They don't need to be captured and controlled. Let them be. They'll be all right. So, but that aside, I just think that the way those two cases that were done within 2 weeks of each other were handled extremely differently. And people will say, how do you know it's based on color? Maybe I don't, but let's just say for kicks and giggles, this couple was black, the father wasn't there, and somehow they found out he had a record. This family was white, and we don't know anything about them. I think that's interesting.
Nope.
You don't think that's interesting
mm-hmm.
that they didn't look at that at all? So, yeah, things are handled differently. And to think that they're not says that you're not paying attention. Or there's really a lot of blinders on. You're absolutely just like, no, the world is awesome just the way it is. And yeah, where you are, it is. For others, not so much. And you can't be mad because we don't see the world the same way you do. Maybe that's really my issue is that, okay, I get it. You live in a different environment. The way you see the world, your perspective of the world is very different. But don't take that away from somebody who's not living the same life you're living. Someone else is seeing the world very differently. And it's okay. You can't make it be different because your world is different.
Well, I think that they just, it's because they don't have to. The judicial system works for them. They don't have to look at how it impacts us. They refuse to admit that there is a privilege, but there is. So they don't have to, they don't even have to consider us. Like you asked at the beginning of the show, Black Lives Matter. To certain people, it does not, because they can't even have empathy for what we're going through at all.
Yeah.
They don't have to. But I do believe that because they are almost, I think we're what, the minorities of 30 to 40% of the population now, and they realize in 10 to 20 years they will not be the majority, I think there's a real concern. And I think that Donald Trump has opened up Pandora's box for them. And that's where the term Make America Great Again. He's really opening up some fears. And they do believe, and this is my suspicion, they do believe that they know how they have treated us. And they're very afraid that we will treat them. If we become the majority, we will treat them as they have treated us.
I have had people tell me that. So I can say, yes, that's true. Yeah. I've actually had white people tell me that have said, if we were treated the way we've treated people, we're terrified because we know it's coming. We just know that one day people are just going to rise up and just start killing or having whatever. And, the interesting thing, and I could be wrong, maybe I'm naive, but when you look at other cultures, that's not typically in them, if that makes sense. Most cultures I look at really just like, I live here and I'm happy here. And I'm one with the land or the earth or whatever. Like I plant stuff and stuff grows. I eat it and then I replant it. I have a cow. And when I kill it, I get milk and I get, clothing and I get this and I get, food. I get all this stuff from this animal. And, and I treat it well and it treats me like there's this symbiosis with everything. And somehow that doesn't work in that culture. It's like I have to take it over and own it and rule it and run it and change it and make it be something else. And that's where I think and I don't know. I mean, we may be so fed up that at some point we do just say, yeah, we just going to start doing that to people. But I don't know that that's really in us. I think most people are just like, can you just leave me alone? Can you just let me be? Like, I get you're not going to help me, but can you not put your foot on my neck? Can you just let me be? I feel like that's what, and I feel like, and I may be simplifying, I even feel like that's what's happening even with the Middle East, that there's just people just like, can you just let me practice my religion? Can you just let me be Muslim? I don't need you over here trying to make me be Christian. It ain't working for y'all. Can you just let me do my thing? I feel like there's this sense of that, and it's not so much that people want to have a big old fight. They're just like, I just want to be.
Well, I think for the United States, the biggest contradiction is that we are supposed to be the land of the free, and people are not free. We're supposed to be have justice, and the people are not just. It is what our whole United States is founded on. We are a big, huge contradiction. You know what is actually interesting, too, and I don't know if you know this, but there have been travel advisories sent out in the Bahamas and New Zealand to not come to the United States. China told him, don't come over here telling us what we need to do until you clean what's over there in the United States. So we are, the United States is being looked at as a mockery. But in a, but from our standpoint, I think we need to leverage that. You got a lot of people in the UK that are standing up for us. There's a lot of Asian Americans that are standing up for us, and not just in the United States, all over the world. And we need to actually utilize that and leverage that. So I find it amazing that we are trying to worry about, some people are worried about what's going on here, but they didn't, we're not even thinking about how the rest of the world looks at us, and they see it.
Yeah.
Our dirty laundry is all over the place.
But oh, my God,
that
it is.
That is a way for, that is something we can utilize and leverage to get some movement. We do not have to, I hate to say this, but the United States is not the ruling world power as it used to be. So we need to work with.
That's why we have to make it great again. That's what that's what Trump is saying.
Well, I think they're afraid now that there is, we have a voice that is greater than the United, that extends outside of the United States, and I think we need to take a look at that. I think we need to take a leverage that type of information. To not just have people in the United States hear us, but people all over the world hear us and push the political issue.
That's very interesting. I didn't realize that New Zealand and
the Bahamas
were telling people not to travel here.
Yeah, because most of the Bahamas, 90% people of color, saying because there's an uprising here, they're advising don't go because of police brutality. They put it out planes.
And why New Zealand?
They all have a darker skin. I mean, they're people of color. I mean, because they don't identify us as a nationality. You know, it's you're either black, but they don't see, like at work, you're either black or African-American. That's the only thing. You don't see Guyanese, or you don't see Jamaican. Mm. Those things are not checked off on your race or ethnicity. That's either the black or other or white. So when they see a person of color, they do not distinguish, oh, that he's from New Zealand, so that's from the Bahamas, or that's from the Dominican Republic, or that's from Puerto Rico. I hate to say it. Some of them cannot distinguish. They don't care to distinguish. You're not them.
Yeah.
Because it looks like they're shooting first and asking questions later.
It does look like that, and
at Philando Castile's name, just by his name, what's his nationality? What race is he? Just by looking at his name. I don't really know.
I don't either. I probably would have said Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
The Castile part.
Yeah.
And he may have been. He could have been from Dominican Republic or Belize. He could have had that. I don't know. But yeah. That's very interesting. I just know I was just disheartened this week by everything and just the way people were coming. I mean, the stuff that I just saw online, the hatred, the venom that was coming out of people was so disturbing. And I thought, is this the America we live in? It's so bad to hear how people really feel, and they're calling each other names. You know, somebody disagrees. There's all this name calling back and forth, and it's like, how did we get here?
You know, Renee,
how did we get here?
I don't know if I've become numb, but I'm not surprised. I'm gonna say this: I would not be surprised if black people armed themselves and went on a shooting spree. I would not be surprised. And the reason why I say that is not that I'm saying, yeah, go ahead and do it. I'm not rah-rahing it. But I think that our backs have been pushed against a wall. And sometimes you come to a point where there's so much you can take. That was the one side of me thinking. Like, I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised that if we do have an uprising. I was a little shocked that the shooter in the police in Dallas that was an actual black guy. I thought that was set up.
I was very shocked by that, too. Yeah, I did, too. I thought that same thing.
I was like, that's not our MO.
it's really not.
More emotional than that. But
yeah.
The other part of me was, and I know this is going to probably sound strange to most, but I'm kind of elated and excited to see it in a way because we've been oppressed for so long and I feel like we have become complacent. And I feel a movement again. I feel the energy again that it is time for a change. And it's got to happen. And I hope that it's a positive change. But I do know through change it's going to be a struggle. There will, I think of all times, even when there's a natural disaster, the recovery time brings about a big, huge change. So I'm anticipating it getting worse than what it is before it actually gets better. It's going to take pain to make this change. I really do believe it.
I think it's going to be a painful change as well. I think even with sending the message, I think one of the reasons that the boycotts are not working and aren't effective is because it's not like the 60s where something happened at this store and then we boycotted that store and we did it for a while. It wasn't like we ain't gonna shop Thursday. Like, you did it till it seriously made an impact. Right now, we don't own anything. And so one of the messages I saw going around was, we're going to do this economic shutdown and not shop, not shop at any place that's not black owned. I'm like, we're going to starve and be homeless. I'm like, what do we use that isn't or that is owned by us? We can't grocery shop. I can't put gas in my car. Everybody I pay goes to a white bank. I'm like, how is this supposed to work? I don't know if that's enough to wake us up and realize we don't have anything or what. But I'm like, how's that supposed to work?
Well, and the way I'm looking at it is that it is a start. It's not going to be a switch, an overnight switch or where. But I think we need to be mindful, and because people will not support us, we need to start supporting ourselves. I think that is the goal and the mission. If you don't want to take our money, or you're not going to take our money and use it wisely, we need to start giving it back to ourselves. And I think that that is the initiative. And if you see that money being filtered into the black community and that continues to grow and we create that, then it may get better, because now together we will have a financial impact, because we are spending a lot of dollars for them. If
we do spend
back
a lot of dollars, but where do we take it back to? Like, what I'm saying is, like, one of the ones I saw was about not shopping, not shopping anywhere that's white. What are we doing then? I can't buy groceries. Where do I buy groceries from? Where do I pay my mortgage to? Where do I buy gas? Like, these are necessities. I'm not even talking about the fringe stuff. I'm on necessities. Where is it going?
No, I understand. I don't think that you can, like I said, it's not going to be a complete switch because it doesn't exist. But we have to start somewhere. And there are some black-owned banks. There are some black-owned, a lot of different things. If you think about it, Renee, we do have a lot of black-owned businesses that do need support. And if those are being supported and we show that support, that will encourage other businesses that will be brought back into our community, and we will have more of a bargaining or chip. It ain't going to happen today. It ain't going to happen tomorrow. It may not happen 10 years from now. So we have to start somewhere. If they're not willing to listen to us in terms of where we spend our dollars, then we have to take the dollars back and invest in ourselves. Now, I really don't understand about, you know, boycotting Target and not doing, because, again, like you said, we got to get, you know, laundry detergent from somewhere. Although there is a black-owned laundry detergent, black people making laundry detergent. I don't know if I posted that on
our
page.
You did. I just saw that somewhere. Okay, it was on our page.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I'm saying it is a start because I'm seeing – and you know what? I'm going to say this. I'm really waiting on some of the big money people, like who's endorsing Nike, there needs to be some big money. There is big money somewhere that nobody's saying anything about. That needs to say, you know what? If you're not willing to help my people, why do I need to help your people? If we want to put it that way. If you want to keep blind, then we need to keep put some blinders on. And money talks, but we have to put it together, or it has to be a bigger amount.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that
it has to be an effort. It's going to bother people.
Yes. And I really appreciate, you know, the fact that we are collecting money for the kids. Alton Sterling's kids to go to college, but I don't want to keep doing that for somebody else's family. I don't want to do that, not because I don't think that's a solution. Yes, it helps and they need it, but we need to solve this police brutality thing. It has to stop. The judicial system needs to work both ways, black, white, whatever. These people need to be reprimanded.
Yeah. There needs to be a cost, and people know. Again, I feel like everybody just has to die and get to start from scratch. But I mean, people know the judicial system doesn't work. Just look at the affluenza kid. How are you underage drinking, drunk driving, kill four people, and you're too affluent to go to jail, so you just get probation? That would never happen. Never happen to someone who looks like us. That is amazing that even took place. So we know the judicial system doesn't work.
Yeah, well, I know this is a little off topic, but if they legalize marijuana, what are they going to do with the people that are in jail for marijuana?
Well, they did in D.C., and that was the question that came up. Do you let those people out? People who got more time than affluenza kid are in jail for marijuana. And we had that discussion about that. That might be a topic we do next. So now drugs matter. I've been wanting to do that. But yeah, that's something. So we know the judicial system doesn't work. And I think what's interesting is this is a little off topic too, but I don't think I've recommended this, or maybe I did early on. But there's a podcast that was popular in 2014 called Serial. Was about the case of a guy named Adnan Syed. He's American, Pakistani ethnicity, and he was accused of murdering his ex-girlfriend in 1999, and he went to jail, no evidence, just on the word of an associate of his who told six different stories between the police and being in court. So he's been in jail for the last 17 years. His sentence was just vacated. But what was interesting about this is this was one of the first times that, as I talked to people, I think people not of color actually realized that the system doesn't always work, that people are sometimes in jail and they shouldn't be, and not just on necessarily on technicality, but they're in jail because someone lied, or they're in jail because someone didn't test DNA. They're in jail because somebody wanted to check off the case is closed. And it's the first time I think people are realizing that the police aren't looking for the truth. I'm not saying that there aren't good cops out there, But their job isn't to necessarily find the truth. Their job is to get a conviction and to get an arrest and to close a case.
Numbers.
And so
numbers.
And to get right,
the
to
numbers.
Get numbers. And police officers will tell you that. I'm not making that up.
Yes.
They will tell you that. They're like, our goal is to get stuff off the books. It is not to necessarily find the truth. And so this man has spent the last 17 years of his life in jail. He just got his sentence vacated. But it was so interesting to hear so many people go, wow, I didn't know that the system could do that. Because if you live in a world where the system supposedly always works, except for, like, you know, the Stanford rapist or affluenza kid, it pretty much seems to work all the time, right? Think much of it. So, but then there's all these people, and that's not to say that everybody in jail should not be there. There's some people who've done some things and are paying the price for it, and those people probably admit it. No, I killed her. Yep, I gutted her, whatever. There are people who've done that. But there's also a nice fraction of people, and I forget the percentage, but it was close to 10, if I remember correctly, that the Innocence Project has talked about, that about 10% of the population, the prison population, has been wrongfully convicted. That's a lot of people. And so, but it's the first time I think people are really looking and going, oh, wow, I didn't know that it didn't work. I didn't realize that that could happen because, you know, police officers are supposed to be there to protect people, and they wouldn't be in jail if they hadn't done it, right? Wrong. So, no, there's a lot of people that end up paying the price for something and didn't do anything wrong. I think that's something to look at, is that we definitely need an overhaul of the justice system. It can't just work because you have enough money to make it work. You know, that, and honestly, that's the only reason O.J. Simpson got off. He had enough money to make it work. Do you have enough money to make it work? And that's not the way the justice system should be. It shouldn't be a system that says if you're a police officer, you don't get to ever pay the price. And if you have enough money, you don't really have to ever go to jail. But if you're broke or a person of color or, God forbid, both, you're doing time. That's not the way a system should work.
Well, you when you said that about O.J. case, it made me think of something. What they did, too, is they exploited the LAPD. They opened up the books on their history. That is the biggest turning point. If we want to get the police or some of these lawyers or some of these, they need to be exposed just like that. I think we need to work smarter and look at how, I mean, history shows us we've had positive leaders, Martin Luther King, killed. We've had forceful leaders, Malcolm X, strong leaders, killed. The boycotting and marching has not worked, but we've seen cases of where you do smarter or we going from a political stance. And sometimes I think we need to be a little bit covert and not so open about how we're going about doing it. So I definitely think that if you have a police brutality, you need to know who they are and not just get their name and report them to back to home base. You need to get their names and figure out what their history is, because this is probably not the first time they've done it. They have a history of it. They've seen text messages. There is data to prove to the community, to the jury, to whoever, that people are malicious. And this is about, and I think that that's probably the better way to go about it immediately, is we need to expose their dirt. Period.
I think we need to expose it, and you need to expose it inside of a civil case. I think they need to put some of these people out. They're
I don't care how you
right
do it.
Now.
Just do it.
They're just going scot-free. I'm like, this is crazy. Nobody's getting indicted, and nobody goes to trial, and nobody gets punished for this. Somehow we have to get some kind of, you have to have some closure to this. And I just saw this a couple months ago on Dr. Phil had somebody on, and I want to say it was Michael Brown's mother who was on there. I hate to say this. There's been so many killings in the past year that I don't remember if it was her, but I believe it was his mother that was on there. But she was on, and there was another white lady on there. I don't remember her name at all. Her son had been killed by an officer, and he had been smoking marijuana. The officer had pulled him over for that, and her son had run over the police. He did something with his car and hit the police. He didn't, like, run him over, but he ran into him some kind of way. Police shot and killed him. And then there was Michael Brown's mom there. We know that story. This lady, whose son had been shot by the police for smoking marijuana, driving while under the influence, had already, in under that year, had already been to court, done a civil case, and gotten her money. Michael Brown's mom was still waiting for them to review tapes or whatever it was for the criminal part. And I'm like, this is the problem. How has this woman done everything and gotten stuff? And this woman is still waiting for people to figure out if the tape has been whatever, to see. This is crazy. That doesn't make any sense that that's happening. And so that's why I'm like, somehow you got to get, and once they review everything and doctor it or whatever they're going to do, nobody's still going to jail. Nobody's going to get indicted. Everything's just going to go away. Like, oh, yeah, well, he probably deserved it.
Well, I don't know, Renee. I'm still having my doubts about the judicial system, whether it's civil or not, whether it's a civil case or not. But I think when that dirty laundry is thrown out in the middle of the street, maybe people can look at it a little bit differently.
Maybe. But I think that'll hurt them in the pocketbook. I think that's where the pocket needs to be hit, is with the police force. Because I don't think they'll change because of us not shopping somewhere. It doesn't connect with them. And then people just lose jobs. We don't shop at Target. Target didn't have any money. Now we got people unemployed.
Oh, no. I mean, I was talking about, like, exposing this guy, like, in Florida. He was a member of the KKK on the police
board.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think we should do that. Board. I think
resigned.
That should all come
that's
out.
I'm talking about stuff like that, yeah. If they have a history of racial involvement or racial being biased, then they need to be exposed, period. That good
yeah,
old boy
I do think that should come
needs
out.
To be exposed.
Yeah, I think that should come out, and there should be some consequences. Because I've already seen stuff about the cop who shot Philandro Castile. There's stuff out about him, and he's been caught, and it's like five. He's already had five incidents prior to this. But where is it going to go if you don't ever have a case against him? Where does it go? People are like, oh, well, whatever. And then we move on, because right now those two men's lives have been totally ignored. For the five cops. We don't even know who the 13 people are who were wounded. I don't know if they're alive, dead, if they're okay, did they lose a limb? You don't know. Everything is just, nope, we're all talking about these cops. And that's not to say their lives aren't important. I'm not saying that. But that does tell me that all lives don't matter equally. Because there's 15 people, two dead, 13 injured. We've just forgotten about because 3 or 4 days is these five cops who were killed.
Yeah, but they have focused on the shooter and exposed his past.
And they focused on the shooter and they exposed his past, yes.
Yeah,
and
that's all I'm saying.
If he had lived, they would have dug into everything and he would have gone to jail. They would not have reviewed a thing. It would have just been, he's going to jail. They would have gotten capital punishment because it's Texas. They would have killed him.
Well, I'm just saying, when you expose it, then that can change. If you're giving... There will eventually be a case, hopefully. You're giving the jury that hasn't been picked or you're giving the public some idea about who we're trying to prosecute.
I agree. I'm agreeing. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying we need to do criminal and civil. That's all I'm saying. We need to do both. Because right now nothing is happening and people are just mad because they're expecting the system to work for them. They're thinking that the district attorney is going to work for them. And they're supposed to. That is their job. But that's not working. So we need to do something
uh-uh.
in addition to that. You can do a civil case
mm-hmm.
and expose all that stuff. You can bring all of that out in a civil case. And you only need a majority of people. You don't need a unanimous decision.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm just at a loss of really, I mean, I think there's multiple ways. I hope that we can unite. I hope we don't be subdued into being calm. I think that's what happened with, when you were talking about the lady that got the civil case and Mike Brown's mom was still, if you remember the news, you know, they had her on the, in the news talking about be calm, talking to all black people, be calm, calm
mm-hmm.
down.
Mm-hmm.
None of the,
yeah.
I think sometimes that lulls us to sleep.
our forgiving nature. Do you forgive? I forgive those
yeah.
people. You know, that kind
I'm
of
not,
thing. But
I'm not saying
yeah.
this. I'm going to say it again. I am not promoting violence. I am promoting the vigor, the passion. We need to keep having it and don't let it go away. And be a little bit more, think of different ways, because we've seen from history that marching and boycotting, getting people killed, and it's not coming to any, we haven't changed. It hasn't changed. It's actually gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to come up with different ways.
Social media just exposed it.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's gotten
worse.
Well, I'm going
to say
two
things happened.
Mm.
I think getting Obama as president, well, that opened up a lot of stuff. And then now with
yeah.
Donald Trump, that has been the icing on the cake.
Yeah. Yeah, we are really seeing what people think and believe and how they feel, and it's ugly. And these are all
yeah.
Christian people. So, I don't know.
Well,
that just is even more disturbing.
Yeah.
So, well, on that note, do you have a recommendation for us?
Have a recommendation. I don't know if I would say I have a recommendation other than what I've said for this particular show. I myself, in terms of this situation, I'm at a loss of which way to go in terms of boycotting or signing a petition or writing letters to my congressman, writing a letter to the mayor. I mean, doing the research, I really don't know which way to go. I mean, I know that we usually give recommendations. It doesn't have to necessarily be associated with the show. But,
yeah, because I'm not giving
recommendations
to the show.
Yeah. I'm at a point where I know even my background, where I'm from, and most of my family and my relatives will be constantly saying, pray for peace. Pray for peace. And I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying for change and by any means necessary, because it has to change. And we've tried multiple ways. And prayer, it does work. And those that have a direct line to Jesus, pray and pray on. But I am an action person. I'm looking for a way to be involved and do something different. And I will pray. I will pray that I am just and fair and thoughtful. But that was a time when Jesus got tired of the stuff going on at the temple himself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time.
Yeah. So my recommendation has nothing to do with any of this, but you should just check it out. And that is, if you're not already, if you haven't already done, I know I'm a little bit late, but you have to watch Orange is the New Black season 4.
Much better than last season.
Oh my God, way better than last season. Because if you kind of gave up on it after season 3, like I almost did, I was like, this was the most boring season. Season 4 will restore your faith in Orange is the New Black. Awesome. So that's what I'm recommending this week.
Yeah.
Something that
Renee, since I don't have one that's not related, I'm going to jump on with yours. Watch it. Definitely.
Yeah,
that,
watch it. Yeah,
you need to watch it.
Yeah. It even has a little twinge of what has happened.
It has all of what is happening.
It sure does. So yeah. That's what I'm recommending. Orange is the New Black. Check out season 4. I even went back and started from the beginning because season 3 had kind of lulled me to sleep. Yeah, it kind of lulled me. I couldn't remember what happened. I was like, who are these people? I just looked at them like, who is she? Where did she come from? You know, so I went back and watched from the beginning. I was like, oh, that's when she came in. Okay, but yeah, good show. Check it out. I'm just going to do that one recommendation. I don't want to do them all. I've been listening to reading a lot of stuff lately. That's the one I'm going to end with. So we will be back next Monday. Are we getting together next Monday?
Well, we need to talk offline because I may have a visitor and what we're talking about just going on. And the fact that I did read, that Bernie Sanders may be endorsing Hillary. So
I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We will
let you know what our next topic is because next Monday begins the Republican National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after that, I believe, is the Democratic National Convention. So I'm sure there will be a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and that's why we wanted to do it before that. To do it on the 17th, which was before the, what is it, 11th?
Yeah. Today's 11th, the 18th.
Do it on the 18th.
And we really probably can't talk about we probably can't talk about either one until the week after anyway. So, because it'll just be starting this Monday, like when we come on. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So we will let you know what our next topic will be. And join us here next week for Black Woman Talk with Rhonda and Renee. And let me play the outro music. Hold on.
The outro,
this
is the good music. That's what I'm talking about.
See you next week.
All right. And Black Lives
All right.
Matter.
Yes, they do. All right. I'll talk to you next week. Okay, good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.